Christ is among us.
He is and always shall be.
I want more. Have you ever felt like that? That you wanted more? Have you ever felt like wanting something more? In today's gospel, we see our Lord Jesus Christ speaking a beautiful parable, another parable. What did we say last Sunday that a parable is? A made-up story, something that didn't happen in reality, a made-up story to teach a lesson. In today's gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us another example of a beautiful parable of a man whose land produced a lot of crops that year, right? And what did he decide to do? What did he decide to do with all the crops that God blessed him with? To share them with the poor. Right? Right? No. He wanted to keep everything for himself. He didn't have enough room where to store everything that God gave him. He said, you know what? I'm going to torn down the barns, build bigger barns, and keep everything for myself, and tell my soul, eat, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Have fun for the rest of your life because now you don't have to work anymore. You know? The dream of many people, to retire young and to have fun for the rest of his or her life. This parable was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ when he was preaching to a group of people, and somebody from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And the Lord answered him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then he said to everybody, "Take heed and be aware of greed, covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Be aware, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then it consists of what? What do you think? Because we were created by God to want more. This is the reality. We were created by God to desire more. This is why even our bodies, you know, they grow from two cells to billions of cells, and our spirit is called to grow, to desire more and more. We are created by God to desire, to want more. But to want more of what? What do you think? What is really giving meaning to life and more life to us? Things? Possessions? Peace? That's good. But you know, the Bible says that we're created in the likeness of, in the image of God, to become the likeness of God. And then the Bible says that God is love. So if we are created in the image of God who is love, and we are called to become like God, to become more and more like God who is love, what should we desire more of? Maximus, what should we desire more of? If God is love, and we are created to become more and more like Him, what should we desire more of? love? What about that? What about that? Let me give you an example. You know, that man who generated the parable spoken by the Lord in today's gospel, he had an argument with his brother over their inheritance. Did it ever happen to you to argue with your siblings over possessions, over material things? Not inheritance, I hope, yet. But over maybe a toy? Have you ever argued with your siblings over a toy? Yes? And what was the result? Is it not more important to stay in a loving relationship with our siblings than to argue over a toy? Or over remote control? Or over whatever, Anna? What do you want to say? No? Okay. So, what about wanting to be more in loving relationships with our siblings, with the people around us, with everybody? The Lord said, we talked about this in the last few Sundays, about loving our neighbor as ourselves, loving unconditionally everybody. What if we start with our own family members, with our immediate family? Can we love our immediate family unconditionally? Let's start there. Let us want more love, not more things. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Last Sunday, we talked about existential pain, about the pain that any living organism experiences just because of the fact that that living thing is alive. Anything that is alive experiences pain, because experiencing pain is one of the signs that a plant, or an animal, or a human being is alive. All of us were exposed to suffering regardless of our choice. There was nothing wrong that we did, and we still experienced suffering. We're exposed to pain and suffering. And last Sunday we talked about how we could overcome and transcend this existential suffering. Today we'll talk about self-inflicted pain and suffering. This is the kind of pain and suffering that basically we could choose to avoid. But because we have an ego, but because sometimes, you know, we're not healed of the existential suffering that we experience, we produce more pain. So I labeled this kind of suffering self-inflicted suffering. And from what I could see, there are about two big types of existential, of self-inflicted suffering. One is the pain generated by the unhealed existential suffering experienced in the past, and the second kind is pain generated by trying to fulfill our pleasures and desires. What is this pain generated by unhealed suffering experienced in the past? Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, the two men who are responsible for the killing of millions of people in the last century. Besides being responsible for the killing of millions of people in the last century, what else do they have in common? Both of them had a big ego and very strong wills. But also, both of them experienced a lot of existential suffering as children. And I guess they were not healed of the existential suffering they experienced as children. Both of them, both Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, were very artistically inclined. Adolf Hitler was a very good painter. He, as a teenager, to make money after his father passed away and he was living in poverty, he was painting, especially paintings of buildings, and selling them to make money. And he was an accomplished painter, an artist. He wanted to become an artist and to go to school to study art. His father, who was another very strong-willed man, did not allow him to go to study art. He put him into a school to study real stuff. And of course, you know, he fought against his father. His father beat him a lot as a child. And he grew up with a lot of existential suffering. Later on in life, when he had the power, all that anger that he accumulated as a child was reversed and was outpoured on the world. Joseph Stalin was a published poet as a teenager. Another very artistic spirit. But again, he had an abusive father who was beating him and his mother when he was getting drunk. His father had his own issues. He was getting drunk, beating him and his mother, and little Joseph probably accumulated a lot of anger as a young boy. It seems that especially the people who are highly sensitive, when they are exposed to a lot of abuse, they accumulate a lot of anger. Working as a chaplain at a correctional center was one of the greatest blessings of my pastoral ministry, because I had a chance to work with people with really broken hearts and lives. For 3 years, 20 hours a week, I counseled about 6-7 people a day. About 90% of them were in jail, were in prison, because they were abused as children. And sometimes the guards would tell me, "Father, why? Why is he in jail, and why did he commit such terrible crimes, when we know that he has siblings who are out and they are doing well and they grew up in the same family? And why did build up so much anger and they committed such terrible crimes when their brothers and sisters who grew up in the same family are okay and functioning well?" You know what I discovered by talking with these people? Most of them were very sensitive people. Most of them were very artistic, and they will still create art in jail. But because they were abused, and they didn't know what to do with their pain, they became abusers of themselves, and of other people, and of the creation of God around them. So, when we are not healed of the pain and suffering that we experienced, and all of us were exposed to pain and suffering as children, as young adults, as adults. And if we do not know to be how to offer ourselves to God and to the church and to the people around us to be healed of this existential suffering, we inflict more suffering on the people around us and on the world around us. The mystery of confession has a very important role in this healing. For centuries now in the church, we have been focusing on behavior and just confessing our behavior. So many times, the behavior is nothing else than the symptom of the sickness, than the symptom of the illness. I'm having a cough right now. The cough is just the symptom of what's going on in my chest. It is the same in our spiritual life. You know, I punched him. Or, you know, I don't know why I had a burst of anger. There's just the symptom of, most of the time, a deeper illness, of a deeper spiritual pain that we're not healed of yet. And we have to identify it, confess it, not be afraid to talk about it, to offer it to God, and to offer ourselves to God to be healed of. About 90% of the men that I counseled at the correctional center dealt with this. Another about 10% dealt with another type of self-inflicted pain. The self-inflicted pain of the desire of fulfilling my pleasures. This is another type of pain that we will talk about, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, because it is enough for today. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.